Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max. There's a text that I have. I remember this, but I don't remember the answer to the question. Hey, Max, you was the player that forgot their jersey and they had to drive the number in with a magic marker. That was when we were talking about everybody brought their own uniforms, right? Yeah. I remember this scenario, and I don't recall the outcome. Do you? I mean, it makes some sense. I think they had to go to a local store and buy a blank jersey of that team. And then figure out a way to put the number on it because that was the only, it was the only thing. Hey, the only thing you got to remember is to bring your uniform. Whoops.
Yeah, I'm.
Are you blanking on that?
Yeah, I am. And it was MLB, right?
Yeah, MLB.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, if anybody knows the answer, they can text us or call us 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226 rings a bell. Byron Buxton struck out swinging his first at bat in the All-Star game tonight. It looked a lot like Byron Buxton. I mean, he takes a good, healthy cut, and sometimes he hits it hard and drives the ball, and he can drive it to all parts of the field because he's so. If you want to know if a guy can hit, Kirby Puckett, people think about him as, a great hitter, won a batting title, all those things. And you might, maybe think about the home runs after he developed his power, all those things. But the thing I remember the most about Puckett was how hard he could hit a ball to the gaps, especially to right center field. And if you can hit the high pitch hard, you have to have tremendous upper body strength to really drive the ball the other way hard when the pitch is above your belt. You got to have tremendous upper body strength. And obviously he had that. I mean, he had it in droves, the way he was built and everything else. And that's the thing that I remember about his defining offensively was how hard he hit the ball to right center field because he could generate such bat speed because he was so strong in that upper trunk, and not many people can do it. I got an answer that says that was Lou Whitaker. I don't know if that's correct or not. Lou Whitaker played for the Detroit Tigers.
Oh, he was part of that great middle infield with Alan Trammell.
Yeah, Trammell and Whitaker and Jack Morris on the mound, and you got something special, right? Parrish catching and Chet Lemon in center field. Kirk Gibson out in left field. Darrell Evans at third base. I wonder how many more I can get from that team. Whitaker was a great fixture there. I don't know that as fact. It's just that that's what somebody texted in. He also makes a cameo appearance, interestingly enough, on the original Magnum P.I., the real Magnum P.I., the one that was there before the recent one, the one that started it all, there is a, because Thomas Magnum, Tom Selleck, was a huge Tiger fan. And there's a piece there where he and Alan Trammell are at a, Tom Magnum is back home in Detroit and runs into him, and they give him a couple tickets. He doesn't realize who it is. And Jack Morris was supposed to be in that episode. And he just said it was the off season, and I just said, no thanks. I'm not going to do it. But Jack, you could have been a Magnum PI, and you kind of look like Magnum.
I was going to say you put Jack Morris
that
with
big
that
strong mustache.
Right mustache next to Tom
yeah,
Selleck. Yeah,
and Tom Selleck always wore that Tiger hat. You'd swear he was trying to emulate Morris.
See, I feel if Tom Selleck ever needed a stunt double,
yeah, exactly,
it would have been Jack Morris.
Yep, the big cactus Jack, you know.
Yeah, and I did see the here, Maxie, with Lou Whitaker.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the 1985 All-Star Game, ironically enough.
In Minnesota.
In Minneapolis, yeah.
At the Dome.
At the Dome, yep. Yeah, so.
And so where'd they find him, a Tiger jersey, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't. I just said that
some kind of a fan. Maybe they were selling them everywhere, and he just grabbed one off the rack, huh?
Yeah, he just said that he forgot it.
Wouldn't you know the day before though, and you could get it flown in or something?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know how you would have been able to get anything there. Where would they have gotten a? Because as far as I know,
now you can get things just about anywhere, you know. But back then, it was few and far between. Now maybe at an All-Star game, maybe they had jerseys for more teams because they brought vendors in just because of the nature of the game. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, and I go back a ways with this. Maybe if there's somebody else out here that remembers what I'm about to say, text us 651-461-9226. You couldn't find jerseys or posters hardly anywhere, except there was a place called Pro Central. And Pro Central was located off of 494 and Penn Avenue. There's a strip mall over there, not far away. Strip mall is still there. But Pro Central was the only place that I know, unless you went to Met Stadium, that you could go in and find posters of players, memorabilia to an extent, and jerseys for that team. And it was in Bloomington, and I remember as a kid walking in there once and thinking I had died and gone to heaven. You could get a poster of Fran Tarkington or Chuck Foreman or somebody like that. You could get a jersey of, and that was the only place that you could get them. And I don't know if it was because they're in the infancy stages of understanding what they had. And so, therefore, the NFL might not have known, hey, man, we can sell these at the airport. We can sell them anywhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But Pro Central was the place that you would go to get those. And they would have these, you'd look at these almost like pieces of art, to be posters. And you didn't know who was coming next as you'd move the board. And I got a Fran Tarkington poster, I remember, there because he was my guy, And you could get others, the high-profile names, but Pro Central was the only place that I recalled that had that. If anybody else remembers that, 651-461-9226, but it was a stop, man. When you went there, it was like there was no place like it. Now, you can go to Shields, you can go to Macy's, you can go to Target, you can go to Walmart. Everybody's going to have a section of your hometown team, correct?
Yeah, and it doesn't matter because there are so many things that are now licensed. Like, you get so many different, but it's like there's a different quality of license. Like, you get a different quality of, something at Shields or Dick's than you would from going to the official MLB shop or, going to a Walmart or a Target or, Costco, wherever. I was just looking at the Lou Whitaker thing here, too. And it wasn't just because he forgot everything. Like, apparently, Burt Blyleven let Whitaker wear his helmet, his batting helmet.
Really?
Cal Ripken had an extra glove. Damaso Garcia, the Blue Jays, gave him some batting gloves. A clubhouse attendant bought an adjustable Tiger cap and a jersey from a souvenir stand at the Metrodome. Now, this was a generic Tigers jersey.
So now you still needed the number.
There was no number, so a clubhouse attendant took a black marker and wrote in the number 1 on the back, using a stencil. So it was.
Wow, you better be accurate with that one, huh?
It's on the internet, so it's got to be true.
So in essence, he must have just left Tiger Stadium, either that or somebody was supposed to ship it.
He forgot his bag.
Yeah, he just flat out forgot his bag.
Yeah, he said he flat out he forgot his bag.
Huh. Well, yeah, I mean, that can happen, right? But you would just think it'd be so easy. Let's see. Steichen Sporting Goods in Roseville was the sports shop in the East Metro. Yes, it was.
Oh, Steichen's.
Ted Steichen, he calls me every once in a while, and he owned that place. And when I was in college, we at Hamlin, we decided we wanted some nicer baseball jackets than what they offered, the generic baseball jacket, which was nothing special. So we went to Steichen's, and I helped design the baseball jacket, and we took the Hamlin and script.
Really?
H-A-M and then L-I-N-E on the other side of a button-down.
Yeah.
And then dotted the I with a baseball.
Oh, nice.
And then put our number on the side down by the wrist. I've still got the jacket.
Okay.
But we designed it at Steichen's with them. And And they, boy, I tell you what, those are black jackets with the red and the gray. Those were something to be seen.
Oh,
and you could do that with Steichens because they were kind of central headquarters.
Oh, yeah.
For all of the, you know, everybody in the East Metro, if you needed something, you went to Steichens.
It was like, I didn't even grow up in this area, but I mean, when I moved to the cities, like, I knew about Steichens. Like, you knew, because I lived in Little Canada.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, you're right in the backyard,
right,
yeah.
So, yeah, I was over there. And, oh, yeah, the Steichens. And that's what's amazing about a lot of these places that used to have, like, the jerseys and everything. I mean, it was a huge thing when you're a kid to go into a store and you could see
because it didn't happen often.
No, it did not. And these were, like, specialty stores.
Yes.
It was like an exclusive. You went to this place. You couldn't walk into your regular Walmart or Target or Kohl's or whatever and be like, hey, I'm going to go over to the children's section and I'm going to see what they have for the Wild or the Twins. I mean, you didn't have that. You had one place to go.
You're right.
And that was where you had all of your...
For us, this may resonate with you a little bit, Nicholson's in New Ulm.
Mm-hmm.
Which is still in business. That's where you went before the season to get your new football shoes, your whatever it was you needed, you know, your batting gloves, whatever it was. Nicholson's is still in business. I think it's the people from Gaylord Effect that own it now. But that was where you went, and that was a big deal before the season. You'd get your new football shoes or baseball shoes there, and that was the place. And then they'd carry duffel bags with logos of each of the high schools in the area. So you could get a duffel bag. You know, they carried enough in stock that said, you know, Gaylord Spartans in purple and gold when you went there. So, yeah, that was some fun stuff back in the day. Now, I still haven't gotten to the point in this conversation. This happened to me today, tonight, when I came in here. And it's one of those things that just it leaves you so conflicted and disappointed that you don't know how to feel. And it happened to me again the night when I came in here. Let's take a break. I'll digest it and share it with you when we come back. All right, we touched a nerve here. Here's one that says, I had every NHL team pennant in my bedroom thanks to Pro Central. Thanks for bringing it up, Mike. Yeah, those are good memories for those of us that grew up in that area. And I was talking about Nicholson's and did it close down or not. Let's go to Lance. Lance, you're from there. You said Nicholson's closed down?
Yeah, they sure did, Mike. That was, I want to say it was sometime over the winter. But
really, that recently, huh?
Yeah, I'm calling from Mankato, but my kids went to school at Minnesota Valley Lutheran, kind of between here and Cortland, or near Cortland.
Yep.
And we got the girls' letter jackets there and whatnot, and track shoes and things. And unfortunately, they closed the doors.
So probably just big business did them in or what?
That's a really good question. I don't even know where to buy letter jackets anymore.
I don't know the kids even wear them anymore. You used to see them out and about. You think about it, folks. You don't see many letterman jackets anymore.
Hey, out here in rural Minnesota, the kids still wear them.
Do they?
They sure do. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're proud of their schools.
Yeah, I just
they are everywhere. But
I can smell it when I think about going to Nicholson's. You know, when you because it was a treat to go there, and you know, get a new glove or something like that, and I can smell the leather and the you know the shoes and everything else that went with it, or you know the baseball pants that you'd look at, etc. And of course, they made most of their money not from us walking in retail, but they'd sell uniforms to the teams, etc. And I think that was the kind of the bread and butter. So I don't know if you get outpriced in that in this market or not, but yeah, I mean they were there. I believe that the original owner, last name Nicholson, was like a really good baseball player that came to New Ulm and played, if I'm not mistaken, back in the 50s, and it had a long shelf life. Pardon the pun, as I understand it, Lance.
There's a lot of those good baseball players from the New Ulm area, isn't there?
Yeah, a lot of them, yep.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for your call and letting us know.
Yeah, sure thing, Maxie.
You bet. Lance, nice enough to call us. So this is what got me tonight, okay? And I try not to be, you know, I don't think I'm a high-maintenance diva, you know, radio guy that comes in.
Oh, my God, sorry. Thought my mic was off. Sorry, Maxie. Now it's off.
But I came in. I came in today. And I'm sitting now. Now, I wasn't particularly hungry when I got here, right? I ate enough of a meal at about 5:15 that I was okay, right? So it wasn't like I came in here craving anything. But I went back to what would be considered kind of our break room. There's an area there. It's not really a break room. It's a faucet with a microwave and a coffee machine and a refrigerator, okay?
So you talk about here?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Again, can you call it a break room? I don't know
and the empty donut box.
This is what I'm getting at, okay?
Okay.
So I was not hungry for a donut. Uh-huh. I wasn't like I craved a donut.
Yeah.
But from time to time here at this radio station, people will send food over. And it's good food, usually fresh food, because they're trying to promote something. And I came around the corner, and there was this box, right? Now, the first thing you do when you're at a radio station, right, is you look at that box and you say, that looks like a fairly new box, right? Isn't that what you think right away?
Yes.
You go, that looks like a fairly new box. Yes. So I'm going to guess the donuts came, you know, maybe this morning or this afternoon. Mm-hmm. But it's got fresh written all over it, right? This isn't an old box. This isn't something that, you know, you can just tell because you learn to develop that sixth sense when you're in the radio game, right?
Yeah.
And so there it was, and I forget the name of it, but the packaging was outstanding and pristine. And so just in those 3 seconds, those steps that I took towards the box, I'm thinking chocolate donut, raspberry Bismarck. Mm-hmm. Figure eight jelly roll. I mean, all kinds of great thoughts are going through my mind, even though I didn't come over here craving a donut or a pastry.
But you now, saw it, and now you
now
want
now I see there's the box. And because we're short-staffed, and we're not short-staffed over here, there's not that many people coming to the office to work anymore. That's another thing that you factor in, and you say, well, because of that, there's always going to be ample food, right?
You would think, yes.
Yeah, because there's not as many people, and they probably send too many, and it probably happens most of the time.
There's going to be some left over.
So there's going to be some left over, because, I mean, I don't think Tom Mooney was in the day, because he'd take them to go, right? If you know. But I don't think the Moon Man was in the day.
I did not see
him work from home. Obviously, you have to factor that in as well. And so I thought, Mooney's off today, or he's working from home. Therefore, he's not going to take the Eau Claire, you know, some of that stuff, the Eclairs home, all that stuff. So now I am really excited to open this box and see what unveils itself to me and what particular pastry I may partake in. And I opened the box, and not only was there no pastries, but there was just a dash of frosting in the corner.
Mm.
Which was almost worse.
It's a tease.
It's a tease.
It's
it was tantalizing.
You.
And now, do I take my finger and at least have that little piece of frosting?
It's like that attractive girl at the bar that you know you can never date, but she's pretty to look at.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
That was the donut.
You just got to go home, you know. But I wasn't hungry for a donut until I saw that box.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that box, I said, "Oh, this is because I'm going to have my coffee." Mm-hmm. I'm going to heat that up. We got a little coffee maker there that Francie Kennedy put in years ago.
Yep.
And so I'm going to make a fresh cup and then have the pastry to go with it. I was so disappointed when I opened that box.
And there was no donuts.
No donuts. Not anything.
Can I tell you what? When I got here, there was one donut.
Was. What kind? Just tell me.
It was raspberry filling.
No, not raspberry. With sugar?
With sugar, yes.
Oh,
I got to tell you what, though. No. I got something that tops it. Maybe not tops it. It was like maybe a month ago. So we got some, and it's kind of along the same lines. Somebody brought in a lot of pasta. You know, they had like two different types of pastas. You had some, you know, some spaghetti sauce. You had some garlic bread. You had like everything was there.
Yeah.
It was in there for a couple of days. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, starting to nibble at it here and there.
Yeah. And by the way, after a couple of days, it's like, hey, this is anybody's game, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to sit here. It's a little bit left. Twins are on. All I have to do is monitor, do a little bit of work.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go. I knew it was going to be here. So I didn't eat all day.
Yep.
Because it had been here.
Yeah, because it's not going anywhere. And obviously people had passed on it, right?
Yeah. Carter was here, DJ was here, Laura was here. That was it.
Okay.
5:45. Look, cool. Everything's there. Get set up. 6:00. I go in there. No food. Cleaned out.
In 15 minutes?
In 15 minutes, somebody took it. Somebody took all that food.
Who do you think?
I don't know. Everybody's like, no, I didn't take it.
Oh, yeah, Carter, come on. Adam jumps to the top of the list.
Well, it wasn't Grundhoffer's, so I'm not sure he would have eaten
it. Yeah, but it might have been Grundhoffer's chicken sausage in there or something. I don't know.
But I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
You know what sucks about it when you're in radio? Is once you played that card and now it's not there, it's not like you can just leave your post and go sit down at Perkins and have something to eat.
No.
You're screwed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, I remember a couple times being screwed like that, and I was starving, you know, for whatever reason. I got in here, and I'd order from Dan Kelly's, and I'd sprint down during the news because Dan Kelly's right down.
Sure, right down. Yeah, I think it's a Broadway's now, but yeah.
Yeah, and I'd get that. I'd get whatever it was that, you know, and bring it back up, and, you know, I just devour that thing like in 2 minutes, mm-hmm. and because that was the only option you had.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I hate worse than starving. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It was just like so, so frustrating.
Yeah.
So frustrating.
More on that. Did Buxton just hit a home run? He did.
3-run shot.
Ah, come on.
There you go.
I think it was a solo because I think it was back-to-back.
Oh, was it? Well.
But the point is he just hit a home run.
Doesn't matter. That's your AL MVP right there. Your game MVP right there, Byron Buxton.
Wow. All right. More to come on this show. Bill McGuire will join us, the owner of the Minnesota United Loons, as they prepare for another game tomorrow night and the end of the season charge for them. The season goes a long time, so it's not the end of the season. But, you know, it's getting there where you start to position yourself for playoffs. When we come back, stay with us. Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Talk 830 WCCO. Byron Buxton is homeward for the American League team to put them in front 3-2. In the Midsummer Classic in Los Angeles. So there you go. A strikeout and home run for Buxton. Joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Bill McGuire, owner of the Minnesota United and beyond. And they've got a game tomorrow. They've got a lot going on with an all-star game and everything else straight ahead. Bill, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Maxie. Enjoyed being with you.
You guys started scoring some goals here in the last few weeks.
Yeah, you know, they're coming together better. Guys are picking it up and learning each other's play, and, you know, it's coming along. There's talent there. It's just got to put it together. So it's been good.
Like when you talk to Adrian about the team, what kind of questions do you ask? And is he able to, you know, he's been doing this a long time. Is he able to, like I'd say, okay, Adrian, why aren't you scoring more goals a month ago? What would he say to you if you asked that question? Is it a technical answer or is it a, hey, we just need more time together? What is it?
Yeah, you know, depending on the moment, it's all of those. You know, I would ask the same kind of question. Why don't we get more goals? How do we miss that? Why don't we get one there? Hmm. You know, I think he brings elements of both understanding the game and, you know, just the experience of being around. You know, things change so much in soccer, the nature of the game. You don't get a goal that you have a chance to get, and then it changes what happens after that. You know, he's always saying, you know, goals change games and they change the style. And it's just impossible to predict, it seems. But, you know, clearly when the guys are syncing together and playing off each other, then you get better results.
And Reynoso is Reynoso. I mean, he needs to be an offensive factor, and he has been of late.
Yeah, he's a spectacular talent. Everybody recognizes that. And he's, you know, he's not always looking for the goal. Sometimes, you know, he enjoys helping other people get the goal and passing. And I think a lot of us just say, go on, take a few, put it in there. And,
yeah.
You know, when he does, he can be spectacular. And he has certainly been spectacular the last several weeks.
And now I've heard this a couple times from people that went over to Allianz Stadium this year for the first time. And they went over there with real modest expectations as to, you know, what they were going to see in the experience because they weren't huge soccer fans. Obviously, if it took them this long to get to Allianz, you know, they weren't season ticket holders or anything else. And I heard it twice from people when they said, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the atmosphere, and I couldn't believe the experience, and I couldn't believe how big and green the field is. In general, when somebody comes over there, and obviously I'm not talking about April when it's 15 degrees, but if you go over there in the summer, what are you hearing from fans that have not partaken yet the first time that they experience it? You know, particularly maybe soccer's not their number one sport, and they haven't really seen the MLS in a venue like that. What kind of feedback have you been getting? Is it consistent with what I just said?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it really is a wonderful stadium. It's, you know, built for soccer, built for the fans. So it creates a great environment. It provides a great environment. And then the people, the fans that are there, take the place over and make it what it is. And you know, you combine the play and, you know, great summer and spring and fall days in Minnesota, and you know, you get out on that very, very green grass, and you see those guys with talent, and then the fans are engaged in it, and they're all active, and it's just a great experience. You know, you get absorbed in it.
When you meet as a staff, obviously you build a stadium, and you know, you got to have some. What was it that you wanted to create from the time that they pull up and see the stadium? You know, people don't realize, you know, there's a science to this. It's not just build a nice building, make the grass green. There's the smell of the food, the ambiance, the music you choose to play, the Jumbotron, all those things. When you would meet as a staff and say, we need these people that come here for the first time to want to come back, what would those conversations be like after that? What would a staff conversation be like to make sure you procured an interest in that fan?
Well, obviously, you know, you're building a lot on experience, for instance, of the architects. And so it starts with what's your design concept? What are you trying to feel? You want to look at it and have it sort of speak back and say, wow, that's a, you know, that's interesting. That's a special place. It's beautiful. It's got some nice features. And then that drags you in. And of course, then when you get in there, you know, you want the visual aspects, like that first view of looking into the grass. And of course it's sunk. So that brings people in, and then you have the amenities and the layout, and the sound is held in because of the way the roof lines are designed to hold it back. And it's one thing leading to another, but it's really about creating the environment that works for the fan so they actually get to immerse themselves in the game and get to experience all the things about the game and be one with the team. So that's the big thing, and it's got all the elements you talked about. So I think it's a combination of, you know, architects, a desire to really have it be everything it could be, and doing a little extra great amenities, food, thinking about how that all lays out, and trying to fit it into a finite space. You know, it's not a huge stadium, but
no, that's right. I think that's one of the things people like about it. It's cozy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very intimate. You know, it's an elegant, but it just feels good, and it feels right, and it says soccer. You know, it's made for
right.
the sport.
It's made for that sport in particular.
And that's a big part. I mean,
yep, you are in the United's house, right?
Else.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so when we talk about winning, if you didn't have all that and you had a winning team, do people feel as good about it, or do you believe experience trumps winning?
I would never go so far to say experience trumps winning. I think it goes hand in hand with winning. You know, I think you can win, and if the experience isn't good, it is, you know, for you as a fan, for instance, then it's going to be suboptimal to what it could be. And you can have a great experience, and if you don't have, you know, entertaining play out there, then that may not be nearly what you want. So I think you have to have all of them, really, and they play off of each other. And obviously the ideal is to have a great experience with winning style of play, fast play, but things that really get people in. So I'd say you have to have both of them.
Bill McGuire is our guest. What does the All-Star Game mean to you in terms of opportunity? We know, you know, obviously an All-Star Game, we're watching it tonight in baseball. It's a special time. You only get it every so often. But what do you try to do to take advantage of that?
Well, you know, I think the big thing is, well, at least part of it is to expose people, just expose people to the sport, expose people to the stadium, expose people to our community. You know, all of those things will come out, and there'll be a little bit of a different feeling or emotion evoked depending on who the individual is that's looking at it. For people around the country and, you know, around the world, because they'll be looking from around the world watching, it's a chance to show them the great city and our Twin Cities, and to show them this beautiful stadium and show the quality of play. For people here, it's a chance to, you know, show off what we have, share it with people. Obviously, the All-Star Game is going to feature some really fine competition. The best players from Mexico, the Mexican League, are going to be here from Liga MX. And, you know, that is a long-standing, high-quality league. And it's an important sport to those people. And so we should have some great competition. And even though it's a, you know, a sort of doesn't count in the standings kind of thing, it counts.
Does Wonderwall get played if it's not your team, or is that sacred to the Lewis?
No, I've never thought about that.
I'm giving you some things to think about here.
Yeah, I think so. That'll be one I'll have to check on. MLS does a lot of control.
I
guess this, all the All-Star games are a little bit more the league and a little bit less the local team, the host. I mean, we're honored to be hosting it and being able to show off the community and the stadium and our people, but the league will probably have a lot to say with all those things.
Well, Bill, great to talk to you. Have fun out there tomorrow night, and leading up to it, we'll talk to you again real soon, but appreciate your time tonight.
Well, thanks, Maxie. Have a good one.
You bet. Bill McGuire, owner of the Minnesota United. As they prepare, they got a game tomorrow night, but they got that All-Star game coming up, and it's kind of cool. I talked to a guy who said, yeah, my son-in-law said, let's go to the game. I got an extra ticket, and he says, drag me with. I got nothing else to do, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I got there, and I was like, whoa, this is not what I expected. And I think that's good news. Chris Tubbs gives some final thoughts on all of the above when we come back. Now, Tubbs, you were telling me you, too, had a little bit of that same effect where you went to a game last year for the first time to watch United at Allianz, and it struck you as a little bit more than you anticipated, huh?
Yeah. A friend of mine from Wisconsin's a big soccer fan, and he had buddies that had, you know, season tickets. He couldn't make it, so he's like, hey, I'm going to be in Minneapolis. You know, and I used to work with him in Sioux Falls, and I haven't seen him in years. I'm like, yeah, you know, let's go meet someplace, have a couple drinks, something to eat. We'll go to the game. So I'm not a big soccer fan. I don't know a whole lot about it, full disclosure. But I went there. I'm like, well, I want
to. You don't know soccer?
No.
You've come to the right place.
Maxie, teach me about the beautiful game.
Dane the backstop. No, I always assume they're doing kind of like hockey or basketball. You try to get an advantage. You got two and they got one. But anyway, go ahead.
No, it was just one of those that I didn't know about it, but I knew that I wanted to go to Allianz. I knew that I wanted to go to this stadium that I'd seen, that I'd driven by, but I've never been inside. So I knew I wanted to do that.
And by the way, I don't know, again, if this was factored in, but there's something about that because it's on 94, so you see it.
Oh, it's huge.
And that creates a curiosity because of its structure.
Now, I think just right
on
the other
side. I don't know if that was intentional, but how many times did you drive by that thing before you did and you go, I got to go inside there sometime, right?
The funny thing is, when I first moved back to the cities in 19, I had to go to Vikings training camp in Eagan.
Yep.
Well, I was living in North Minneapolis at the time, so guess what? I had to go 94.
Yeah.
Down,
cut over to 35.
Cut over to 30, so I'd go by it.
Yep.
And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, isn't it right across the highway from Concordia?
Yeah.
Concordia, St. Paul.
Yep.
So I went by. I'm like, okay, I got to see this. So I went in, and thankfully, my buddy's a big soccer fan. He was kind of, you know, teaching me all the nuances and stuff. But the fans were just really nice. And it's like, I fed off of their energy. I had no idea when to cheer or what to cheer for. But when there was a buzz, like, I could tell when there was a buzz, and you feel that energy. And to me, being a casual, at best, soccer fan, I enjoyed it just because I was a part of something that I had never been a part of before. And to me, that was cool.
They made you feel part of it.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a secret sauce that everybody could learn from, is that if you feel like you're going to the game to be a part of it, it's a lot different than going to a game. Having said that, you've traveled this upper Midwest.
A little bit.
And worked a lot of different places, and the South with Houston. Aside from the major, I'm not talking about a major league event now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you've seen a lot of minor leagues, Division II, 1AA. What's the best atmosphere you ever saw at one of those events?
Oh, boy.
I'm thinking of one, and I'm wondering if it's going to be what you say.
Okay. I really like D3.
Okay, I just
but let me throw this out.
Okay,
actually,
yeah, I'll kind of specify. Maybe I'm
okay. Yeah, what about the Fargo Dome for the Bison football?
Oh, Fargo Dome is great. The Fargo Dome is a very. It's only like 19,000, and people are like, well, you need to expand.
Like Allianz, right? Yeah, same size.
Yeah, and the thing is, people are like, well, you got to have. You know, you if you want to go to D1, you know, you gotta go and you gotta get a bigger state. It's like that 20,000 there, it works for that atmosphere, and you know,
but it must be. I've never seen a game there. I've been to the stadium when it was empty. It must be incredibly loud where they want to be loud.
It's incredibly loud. It's incredibly loud because 1994 is when the Fargo Dome opened, and that was my freshman year at North Dakota State.
It's been there that long, huh?
Yeah. Because I think the first year that right before I got there, it was, I want to say, Memorial Stadium. And that's where we
That old stadium's still there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's still right across from Newman Outdoor Field, because Newman Outdoor Field is just on the northern side of the North Dakota State campus.
So, but would you say, when I bring that up, does that strike you as the best atmosphere you've seen non-major league, so to speak?
Yeah, I could say that, but I'm also a little biased because being a grad, like I've got green and gold colored glasses, not Packer, but I mean Bison colors. I'm going to look at it completely different. I guess I was trying to think of something, you know, trying to be objective. But if I can throw objectivity out of it, and if I can be as biased as I want to be,
as bisonist,
horns up.
Hook 'em horns, yeah.
Horns up.
Okay. And so the second best would be what?
Oh, I remember, well, I mean.
St. John's football, or did you ever go to a game?
St. John's, St. Thomas football game. Tommy Johnny's in Collegeville. You could have given me that 7 days out of the week, and I'd be happy with it.
Yep.
Because, I mean, I did Augsburg football for many, many years. So I got a chance to see, you know, the college. I got a chance to see them.
And you got a chance to see all the different schools.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, there's just something. I mean, you know, Maxie, that the Tommy-Johnny rivalry is.
Well, they played that one game at Allianz. That was incredible.
Yes. It's just, it's on a different level. And I loved it. Yeah. So that's my objective viewpoint. Anything Johnny's and Tommy's.
Yeah, I would say that, too. And that's almost, but I guess I was looking for more. The place that's the same every time as opposed to the special game. But
oh, okay.
I didn't specify on that. We'll accept your answer this time, okay?
This time.
Okay. Okay. Hammer can talk about that all night.
Yeah,
all
right. but he won't have donuts.
UW, man.
Yeah.
No, it's Seattle. No, I can't do that. Okay. Henry and Hammer are coming up next to talk about all kinds of interesting sports stuff on WCCO.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
Ugh, that bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.